Our Father in heaven, we praise you and worship you, the great and good God, the creator, the ruler of the universe, and the one who loves us. Father, we thank you that as your children, we can live each day with a deep sense of assurance of your watching over our lives, your provision, your undertaking. And we pray that you will help us to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight, that we may not be unduly disturbed by the difficulties that we encounter, but we may learn how to walk with you and learn from you, and that we may live lives that are fruitful and pleasing in your sight. We commit this time to your hands, and we pray that you be pleased to be in our midst, that you have the freedom to speak to us, to renew our minds, to refresh our hearts, and to help us to be resolved, steadfast in you and in the truth. All this we commit to you in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our consideration of the subject of appearance and reality, the 278th message, and we are on concluding messages on this series on appearance and reality. This is the fourth message. We are continuing with the second major category of situations, and today I'll be concentrating on difficult situations which appear likely to continue indefinitely or appear to be degenerating towards increasing darkness and hopelessness, or developing in intensity towards a crisis and seriously damaging consequences. Difficult situations which appear likely to continue indefinitely or degenerating towards increasing darkness and hopelessness, or developing in intensity towards a crisis and seriously damaging consequences. In our consideration of the second major category of situations, we noted that there's a strong tendency for people, even Christians, to view situations according to outward appearance of things, whether the situation is favorable or unfavorable, whether things are going on well, whether the situation, context a person is in is conducive, helpful for growth, development, and service. We considered how we should view and go through situations and contexts to learn to walk by faith and not by sight, so that we can learn and grow well in every situation and context as the Lord deems fit for us to go through, and that this is feasible. Even situations which appear not conducive for growth, for example, Moses looking after sheep in the wilderness for 40 years, and situations that may appear not only difficult but doesn't seem to have much meaning, but it in reality can be very meaningful and helpful. Joseph as slave and prisoner in Egypt. And also situations which are very painful and difficult can also be times which are significant with much meaning in it. The example of Job. We then went on to consider the subject from another angle, the framework within which we work out our lives, and we spent some time to consider the constructing frameworks of Daniel and King Solomon and how they fared. And we saw that Daniel fared very well and contributed significantly to the main flow of the fulfillment of God's purposes, even though in his framework it appears very difficult how this can be so. In contrast, Solomon went astray in spite of what appeared to be a very favorable framework for him. The way they live their lives and the outcome of their lives speaks very powerfully to us that whatever the framework, we can and we ought to fare well. The primary issue is our own attitude, what is within our hearts and how we respond to the Lord. On the other hand, however favorable the framework may appear, it does not mean that we will fare well. We must not be presumptuous, but must be prayerful, vigilant, and respond well. Today I want to go on to an important area of truth pertaining to going through intensely difficult situations. This is a very relevant area of truth and important for all those of us who want to grow and to serve the Lord effectively and steadfastly. Because difficult situations, trials, pain are an integral part of life, including for those who want to walk well with the Lord and even those who are walking well with the Lord. And at times, the situation can be not only difficult but of a long duration. It continues to be difficult, which can tend to evoke a sense of helplessness, hopelessness, and even despair. It's important to learn to go through such times well. And I did consider this area of truth in several messages under the heading Difficult Situations Which Appear Likely to Continue Indefinitely or Degenerating Towards Increasing Darkness and Hopelessness or Developing an Intensity Towards a Crisis and Seriously Damaging Consequences. You may have noticed that in these concluding messages on appearance and reality, I do not give equal treatment on all the messages or sections, but I do highlight and spend some time, more time on some areas. And this area I intend to highlight and spend some time on it, as it is rather important and relevant for all those who love the Lord. I considered with you, or I mentioned three related scenarios of very difficult situations in relation to this issue of appearance and reality. The first one is the situation is difficult. The trial has gone on for some time and it appears likely to continue that way indefinitely. It seems to be like that. And that there doesn't seem to be any solution in sight. And we may feel we are unable to endure. But in reality, relief may be about to take place, even though there is no obvious outward indication in that direction. The second kind of scenario is not only the situation is difficult, but it seems to be degenerating towards increasing darkness and hopelessness. And so it may tend to generate within us a sense of helplessness and despair. But in reality, dawn may be about to break. Thirdly, a situation which appears to be developing in intensity, not only degenerating, but developing intensity towards a crisis and very seriously damaging consequences. But again, in reality, there may be significant and sometimes very dramatic positive development soon. Though it doesn't appear likely, and there is no obvious outward indication. It can happen. We looked at a few biblical examples to help us understand these issues, and also how to understand them, and how to go through such times well. The first biblical example is Joseph. We have learned from what Joseph went through from other angles, and I now want to concentrate from this angle. We are all by now familiar with the story of Joseph. He was sold by his own brothers as a slave, ended up as a slave in a foreign land in Egypt because the brothers were jealous of him. Now, in such a situation, it is not easy to respond well. But not only that, what seems worse was yet to come. Because not only was he sold as a slave, subsequently he was imprisoned. And that not because of wrongful conduct on his part, but the opposite, because he wanted to be faithful to God, and it was because of false, malicious accusation, his refusal to yield to the aggressive and persistent attempts by his master's wife to seduce him, and it resulted in a grave injustice done to him. So this kind of situation experience can tend to discourage a person. It was already very bad, but it seems to be getting worse. From slave in a foreign land to slave in prison. In spite of faithfulness, and there seems no way out of his predicament. As far as the situation appears, there doesn't seem to be any way out. And then Suddenly, there is a glimmer of hope, an opening, a possible way out. He helped interpret a dream positively for the imprisoned chief cupbearer to Pharaoh. And the chief cupbearer was told to remember Joseph when he became restored to office, to mention to Pharaoh so that Pharaoh can get Joseph out of prison. But then the hope was dashed because the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph. And 2 years passed by, recorded in Genesis chapter 41, verse 1. So if you picture yourself in such a context after all that you go through, and in these 2 years when he was not remembered, with passing time, the situation may tend to appear to be increasingly discouraging because increasingly less likely to be remembered with passing time. 2 full years. It seems increasingly hopeless. And a person in that situation may feel very difficult to persevere. There's really doesn't seem to be any way out. But in fact, as the end of the 2 years approach, as it appears increasingly hopeless, dawn was about to break. That is, with passing time, such a situation may seem to be increasingly discouraging and hopeless, but actually, it was approaching nearer and nearer to the dawn and deliverance from the predicament, and the solution to the problem was about to take place. Because God intervened, he caused Pharaoh to have a dream which troubled his spirit, and no one could interpret. And the chief cupbearer then remembered the imprisoned Hebrew youth who could interpret dreams. And Joseph was brought before Pharaoh and interpreted Pharaoh's dreams. And Pharaoh became exalted ruler over all Egypt. Just a reminder, I'm going through all this rather quickly. For detail, please refer to the messages. So a few points helpful for us to take note. A, that it wasn't just God's intervention through Pharaoh's dream and Joseph becoming exalted to rulership, but actually God's sovereign undertaking was present throughout this whole period. The scriptures clearly help us to see this. And this is very helpful for us to recognize. Whether we sense it, we do not sense it. If we are true to God, God is undertaking. And it's a very good thing if we can have this deep sense of assurance. Whatever the appearance of things, just ensure our lives and attitudes are pleasing to the Lord. Then we can legitimately have this precious assurance. The Lord is with us. We've seen this. Genesis chapter 39 verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. And he became a successful man. Successful, prosperous. But he was a slave in Egypt. And then following this statement, he became imprisoned. And there were also various encouragements, relief along the way. Chapter 39 tells us that when he was sold as a slave, his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. So God was helping him, and he found favor, and he was made overseer of the master's house. Then likewise, when he was thrown into jail after being falsely accused, it seemed a very terrible thing. But again, the scriptures tell us that the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and granted him favor in the sight of the chief jailer, who then committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners. That is in Genesis chapter 39, verses 21-22. And in the realities of life, it is often like that, where the period of trial is very long and severe. Often, the Lord does grant us encouragement, relief along the way. But whatever it may be, The most important point to note is that if we are walking with Him, then the Lord's sovereign undertaking is a continuing thing. Whether we see it, we feel it or not, it is true. It is there. B. Joseph, from slave to become a slave in prison, may seem to be getting worse, but actually, he was getting nearer to Pharaoh and nearer to deliverance from his predicament, and also nearer to the point of exaltation and the fulfillment of God's purposes for his life. So being sold, the others, even when he was sold as a slave, the first part, when he was sold as a slave to Egypt by his jealous brothers, that was also a step in the direction of the fulfillment of God's purposes for his life, even though it may not appear that way, and Joseph may not have been aware of it. But that is true. And the Lord knows. He sees the whole picture of our lives, and He is undertaking, if we are walking with Him. We may see pieces of the jigsaw puzzle, and we may not quite understand where they fit. But God knows, and we can trust that there's meaning in the various pieces of our lives, if we are walking with Him. Then finally, see, the 2 years imprisoned may be rather difficult, and Joseph may appear to be the forgotten man, and in the realities of life, it can appear that way. As I said, in incidents like this, we must try to identify with the person going through. We just read through the story of Joseph very quickly. We may not be able to identify what it means to go through times like that. But when we ourselves are going through, it may become very real. But try to understand and identify with the situation, and these truths can come through in a more powerful way to us. The 2 years in prison, Joseph may appear to be the forgotten man, and with passing time, may seem less and less likely to be remembered and increasingly discouraging. But God has His perfect timing. Man may be neglectful, and sometimes we may get very unhappy, upset, disturbed. Why people are not responsible, neglectful, and so on. That is why I'm in this predicament. The chief cupbearer, he forgot. Man may be forgetful or even neglectful, or even do things that are terrible to us, like the brothers of Joseph who betrayed him. They may fail to fulfill what they should, but not so with God. God is perfectly reliable, and we can depend upon God. And our ultimate dependence and confidence and reliance must be on God. Even though there's a place for us to encourage one another and appreciate fellowship, and how we can help one another, but ultimately, our confidence, our faith, our reliance must be on the Lord, even as there's a place for us to learn to appreciate one another and encourage one another. We mustn't give any excuses for improper response, bitterness on our part, by blaming circumstances of people, because ultimately, bitterness, resentment on our part is a reflection on our attitude towards God. This is a very important point for us to remember. Because if you are walking with God and we are bitter, resentful, it reflects on our faith in God. And the meaning of our faith in God's undertaking for our lives. If we are true to God, then we need never be bitter. And there is no place for bitterness in our hearts, or to despair, or to conclude that it is hopeless. It is never hopeless. And I hope as we go through this, these issues will become increasingly clear. But this is something that I see is very important for us to lay hold of, and it becomes deep convictions and engraved on our hearts living faith, what it means, that goes beyond our profession, the profession of our lips, that we believe in the Almighty God, that we love Him, we trust Him. Second example, biblical example we looked at, Paul and Silas, again, the incident we are familiar with. What Paul and Silas went through, as recorded in Acts chapter 16 from verse 16 onwards, Paul was greatly annoyed by the slave girl with a spirit of divination, and what she kept crying out for many days, and Paul cast out the evil spirit in her. Nothing wrong that Paul had done, but it resulted in Paul and Silas being seized, dragged, resulted in public humiliation, and they were unjustly beaten. And then they were imprisoned, and not only that, their feet were in the stocks, fastened by the stocks. So they seem to be moving in the direction of helplessness, feet fastened to the stocks, imprisoned. And then in that situation, dawn broke. Dawn broke figuratively, it was actually about midnight. That is also a picture of darkness, midnight. But deliverance came very suddenly. There was a great earthquake, and their chains were unfastened. And it resulted in very effective witness to and conversion of the jailer, as well as his whole household. And also the jailer's kind treatment of Paul and Silas. And then the next day, they were released in dignity. So we see a very significant, dramatic change that came about. And if we read the whole passage, it's reasonably clear that the great earthquake under the circumstances didn't just happen by chance. It was God's intervention in that situation. And if we read through the passage, we notice when it took place, the timing. A very beautiful picture. Beaten, imprisoned, feet fastened to the stocks. But while Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, it was in that context that the great earthquake took place. That is, in the context of positive expression of faith, of worship, prayer, and a faithful testimony. And the scriptures record for us that the other prisoners were listening. It is a beautiful picture. It's good if this picture can be fixed in our memory as an example for us, an encouragement for us to learn to live in like manner. The third biblical example is also a rather striking one. In one sense, it can be the most striking of the three. And that is the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. And there are significant lessons that we can learn from what Moses and the Israelites went through. From the time Moses went to Pharaoh until the successful exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. Bear in mind that Moses went to assume this responsibility and confronted Pharaoh. It was in obedience to God. In this instance, it was not on his own impulsive desire and action. And the initial response of the people was positive. Exodus chapter 4, verse 31. And then in Exodus chapter 5, verse 1, it begins with the beginning of Moses speaking to Pharaoh. But when Moses spoke to Pharaoh, there was a negative reaction. Even though Moses was doing this in obedience to God, it resulted in greater intensity of hardship and suffering. And it resulted in the Israelites complaining against Moses and Aaron, verse 21. The situation, the state of affairs appears to be much worse, as if the whole thing was a mistake. And even Moses himself was adversely affected, perhaps momentarily. And he also didn't see the situation in the correct perspective, and he complained to the Lord. Exodus chapter 5, verse 22, 23. Moses said to the Lord, O Lord, Why have you brought harm to this people? Why did you ever send me? Ever since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done harm to this people, and you have not delivered your people at all. Brought harm to this people? Why did you send me? You have not delivered for us with the whole story recorded. We know that it was just the beginning. And Moses was already saying, you have not delivered. So even a man of Moses' stature can feel disturbed and perhaps in this instance discouraged. Although we can see clearly as we read the scriptures that he ought not, because the Lord was with him and the Lord was sovereignly undertaking. We should also take note that this, in principle, this kind of occurrences are actually quite common. That is, the intensifying of hardship, suffering, pressures. When we are moving in the direction of the will of God, we may say, if I'm moving in the direction of the will of God, how come it is like that? But in fact, when we are moving in the direction of the will of God, intensifying of hardship, suffering, and pressures are common. Of course, increasing difficulties can come if we are foolish and we have done things that we ought not. But we shouldn't be surprised when we are moving in the direction of the will of God. Situations become more difficult. And this is true especially where the issues involved are significant, like in this instance. It's a very important phase in the fulfillment of God's purposes. Why? It's very easy to understand after all these years. The reason is obvious. The evil one will oppose. He will try to hinder, he will try to discourage, he will do whatever he can to make things difficult. We must recognize and take our proper as well as a definite stand to pray against, to resist what the powers of darkness are doing in the situation, and to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. I will not elaborate how it is elaborated in other messages. But in this instance, we see also God in his grace, in spite of the fact that Israelites responded very badly and even Moses wasn't responding well, there was encouragement from the Lord. Chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. And the Lord does encourage those who desire to walk in his ways, and especially in this context, Moses. And the Lord spoke to Moses. I will not read through the passage, but basically the emphasis that comes through is the assurance, I am the Lord. I will deliver. God is in charge. He is sovereign. To focus on him, to trust him, he will bring it to pass. Do not be unduly disturbed by the outward appearance of things. Verse 9, Moses spoke to the people, but there was no positive response. The reason recorded there, because of their despondency. In the margin, it says literally shortness of spirit, and also the cruel bondage. So their spirit was negatively affected by the hardship and the suffering, and they did not respond well. This is an important point for us to take note, that such circumstances tend to discourage and can affect our spirit negatively. It's important for us to ensure that it doesn't happen, and it need not happen, even though difficult. We can choose not to give in to the pressures. We can choose to exercise faith, not just words from our mouth, but in our hearts. We affirm our faith in God, to trust him. We call upon him to strengthen and also strengthen ourselves in him. If we fail to do that, easily it can result in a negative effect upon the spirit, and if that takes place, it becomes not feasible for us to respond well. And the momentum in the negative direction will pick up, and then it can become increasingly difficult for us to overcome. Well, this went on to many rounds in the confrontation with Pharaoh, in spite of many manifestations of God's power. It was a significant time, and significant issues were involved. The evil one was very likely to be actively at work, very much at work, during and throughout this long period of confrontation. There were various manifestations of power, of God's power. Just very quickly, water was turned to blood, but Pharaoh's heart remained hardened. Then there were frogs all over the land. And then Pharaoh says, I will let the people go, but he went back on his word. Exodus chapter 8 verse 15. And then God manifested his power, and there were gnats or lice throughout the land of Egypt, but Pharaoh's heart was still hardened. And then there were great swarms of insects, and the whole land was laid waste. And in verse 25, Pharaoh says, go and sacrifice to your God, but he laid a condition within the land. This was not acceptable because they had to do according to what God commands them. Finally, Pharaoh agreed in verse 28. But again, he went back on his word, verse 32. So this kind of scenario can be rather discouraging when we come across such people and such situations. After so many reasons why Pharaoh should relent, and finally he gave indications of relenting but go back on his word. And then this led to pestilence on the livestock, chapter 9 verse 3, and then boils on men and on beasts in verse 9. But Pharaoh still refused to let the people go, and this resulted in thunder, hail and fire in verse 23. And then verse 27, Pharaoh said, I have sinned, make supplication, I will let you go. But verse 34, he sinned again, he hardened his heart, he did not let Israel go. Chapter 10, verse 4, there was the threat of locusts, and then Pharaoh's servants pleaded with Pharaoh, and then Pharaoh expressed willingness to let them go. But then he said, not the children. This resulted in the plague of locusts. And then Pharaoh said, I have sinned, forgive. And he requested Moses, that Moses remove the locusts. But finally, he still refused to let Israel go. In verse 20. This resulted in the next manifestation of God's power, 3 days of intense darkness. And then Pharaoh says, go. But then he said, not the flocks and the herds. This was not agreeable. And then Pharaoh not only refused to let them go, the situation seems to be getting worse, not only getting worse, it now seems to be moving towards a crisis. There was the threat of death. This was now a threatening, dangerous situation. But also it was moving towards the climax of God's intervention leading to the Exodus out of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 11 verse 1, God said, one more plague and Pharaoh will let you go. In fact, will drive you out. In Exodus chapter 12 verse 27, there was the death of all the firstborn in Egypt. And verse 31, Pharaoh told the Israelites to get out, to go. And then he said, and bless me also. If we try to identify with all that took place, we can see that the whole phase, the whole period, the whole experience has been rather long and must have been rather trying for Moses, for Aaron and the Israelites. In the midst of such experiences, a person can easily feel difficult, unable to endure. And just before the Exodus, the situation seems getting worse and moving towards a crisis, and perhaps seriously damaging consequences, the death threat from Pharaoh. And we may just give up at that juncture, at the threat of death, give up the whole thing as hopeless. But in fact, at that point in time, it is just crucial to continue in faith, the final stretch, a significant positive development was about to take place, but it may not be obvious. One more plague and Pharaoh was about to let them go, would let them go in fact. And when we come to this part of the story, many may then feel a sense of relief for the Israelites that they were finally delivered from bondage to Pharaoh and from the Egyptians. A sense of relief would be even stronger if we are personally in that situation. After intense struggle, difficulties, now Pharaoh says, go. And they went off, the whole lot of them went off from Egypt, a whole huge group. But this was not the end of the story. Another crisis, even more serious, soon developed, which may seem even more desperate than their previous experiences. Pharaoh hadn't given up. The Israelites were chased by Pharaoh and his army with their horses and chariots. And finally, the Israelites were caught between the pursuing Egyptian army and the sea. Exodus chapter 14, verses 5 to 9. Let us take note. Immediately after a crisis, and here although what the Israelites went through, the experience, directly meaningful for us to learn from, is also even more meaningful for us to learn the principles and also to see it as a pictorial presentation of spiritual principles that operate, and I will be reflecting more along these lines with you. Let us take note. Immediately after a crisis or significant event, the coming of Egypt, for example, we must be careful not to lose our vigilance or to become careless. There's a tendency to do so. After a prolonged struggle, a significant crisis, and then deliverance, something positive take place, we may become careless and lose our vigilance. We must remain prayerful and vigilant. Otherwise, we may be taken by surprise, may falter, and then be overcome by the enemy who hasn't given up. Let us continue with the story. This time it seemed really no way out. The Israelites were very frightened and they complained bitterly. But we may say, how can, in spite of all the previous manifestations of God's power and undertaking on the earlier occasions, how can the Israelites complain bitterly like that in this kind of situation? After all that they have experienced of God's goodness and undertaking, very poor response, isn't it? But in principle, do we respond like that? Sad to say, believers do. Have we not experienced on many occasions God's grace and sovereign undertaking and also seen manifestations of His power and deliverance? And very clear to us, God has undertaken and we have expressed deep appreciation. We have thanked God. And then after that, we can still feel discouraged, at times very discouraged. And also not only that, entertain wrong attitudes, resulting in the negative spirit. We allow the negative spirit to develop, to surface, to develop when we are again faced with significant difficulties. And we fail to exercise unwavering, healthy faith as we ought. This is a very important area of truth that we must learn very well. This was another climax. It was a desperate situation. It was moving towards a crisis and what appeared seriously damaging consequences staring them in the face. But at the same time, a great deliverance was about to take place, which was to resolve the whole Egyptian bondage problem decisively. And in this instance, a rather dramatic and definite intervention by the Lord, causing the waters of the sea to be divided. Even non-Christians are familiar with this scene, turning the sea into dry land and enabling the Israelites to go through safely. The Egyptians pursued, the waters returned, and the Egyptians were drowned. The problem was decisively resolved. Of course, if you read the story of the Israelites, that was not the end of the story. There's still the promised land to enter and how they failed and they wandered in the wilderness and so on. But here we are considering the deliverance from Egypt. I now want to go on to ponder over the important principles and lessons that we can learn. First of all, it's helpful for us to take note that what we've been considering, the principles involved here of how situations can change very dramatically, that it can also take place in a person's life which significantly affects the situation we are in. For example, Paul, at that point in time known as Saul. Saul was at the height of his fervent antagonism against the believers. He was persecuting them very vigorously, seeking to destroy them. And while in the midst of it, on the road to Damascus, suddenly Saul was converted, later known as Paul. It was dramatic, totally unexpected. And apparently there's no obvious outward indications in that direction for all those who are suffering under his persecution. And then we see this very dramatic change from Paul, from a fierce, formidable enemy of believers. He suddenly became a very committed and effective worker of God's kingdom. So this kind of unexpected or sudden dramatic changes in the life, conduct or behavior of people, which can significantly affect the situation that we are in, it can take place in the lives of non-believers. It can also take place in the lives of believers. Even believers can conduct themselves in ways which can give a lot of problems to other people. Believers can at times also conduct themselves very badly. There can be negative traits. Conduct which appears to be degenerating, seems to be getting worse and worse, making things more and more difficult for us. The situations may seem to be getting unbearable, either because it seems it would go on indefinitely with no solution in sight, and we are unable to get out of the situation if we want to remain responsible. Situation may seem to be getting worse, degenerating, or even moving towards a crisis and seriously damaging consequences. And then suddenly, there may be a significant change for the better. Though there may be no obvious outward indications that this is about to take place. It can happen. But now it's helpful for us to consider, why do these things take place? Why is it sometimes relief comes about so suddenly? Dawn just breaks, or very positive development takes place. The situation turns for the better. Though there are no outward indications in that direction, in fact, the situation may seem to be getting worse. Is it possible to have some understanding of what has been taking place? Let us consider some factors which may be in operation in such contexts, which may not be obvious if we only look at the outward appearance of things. First of all, one is what is going on in the spiritual realm. It may not be obvious in the outward appearance of things, but something is going on in the spiritual realm, including the spiritual battle which may be taking place and the stage of the spiritual battle. It may be a very difficult situation. The context may appear to have gone on for a very long time, or it may appear to be getting worse, getting nowhere. No solution in sight, according to the outward appearance of things. But in reality, in the spiritual realm, there may be definite progress. I'm not saying it's always like that, but this helps to explain some of these things that take place. There may actually, in reality, be positive progress taking place. Things are taking place, there's a positive direction, but we may not be seeing it in the outward manifestations. But just suddenly, we see the outward manifestation of a change for the better. Now this can be illustrated in pictorial form by what the Israelites under Moses, what they went through. Many rounds of confrontation with Pharaoh may appear endless, getting nowhere. But in reality, it's moving towards a positive conclusion under God's sovereign undertaking, and God had assured the Israelites through Moses. But it was important that Moses and the Israelites continue to trust the Lord and to persevere and to be faithful. Likewise for Joseph, so as a slave in Egypt, they imprisoned and become what appears to be a forgotten man. Seems getting nowhere. But in reality, it was moving towards a positive goal of the fulfillment of God's purposes for Joseph. And throughout his life and throughout this period, God was undertaking. It was moving in a positive direction, but it may not appear so outwardly. And sometimes, not uncommon, the evil one, though realizing he's losing ground, he may seek to deceive us and discourage us by manipulating and working the situation to make it appear as if the situation is degenerating towards increasing darkness and hopelessness, even though in reality the situation actually is getting better in the spiritual realm. In ultimate reality, it is improving. Remember when Moses first spoke to Pharaoh about letting the Israelites go? Pharaoh oppressed the Israelites even more severely. It seems to be getting worse. And the Israelites were actually discouraged and complained, as if Moses had done the wrong thing, when actually it was a step in the right direction. We can say it's a pictorial illustration of this principle. A step in the right direction, but it may appear as if it's a mistake. Things are getting worse. So one reason why in the midst of a situation context which appears to be degenerating towards increasing darkness and hopelessness, dawn may be about to break. Because it was actually a step in the right direction. Things were moving positively, although it appears to be getting worse. And at times, at the brink of defeat in a particular context, the evil one may put up a fierce and final struggle, which results in the situation appearing to be developing in intensity towards a crisis and seriously damaging consequences. At times, at the brink of defeat in a particular context, the evil one may put up a fierce and final struggle, which results in the situation appearing to be developing in intensity towards a crisis and seriously damaging consequences. But in reality, the evil one is about to be defeated. And a significant positive development may be about to take place. But it's important, vital, at that point in time, not to give up, but to persevere. This is illustrated pictorially in the experience of Moses and the Israelites. Just before Pharaoh let them go, there was this threat of death. And also, in the final pursuit of the Israelites by Pharaoh and his army, resulting in the Israelites being caught between them and the sea. So such times can be very trying, taxing, difficult, but important to persevere in faith. The second important factor that can help us to understand why such things take place. The first one I've mentioned is what is going on in the spiritual realm. The second point is, what is going on in the hearts and minds of people, which may not always be obvious to other people who are observing. And what is going on in the hearts and minds of people can result in unexpected and what appears to be sudden and dramatic changes in their lives, their conduct and behavior. Suddenly there's a significant change. For example, in Paul's conversion, people looking at Paul's conduct, they may not be aware. But we have considered this in detail in one of the in the early message on this series on appearance and reality, the conversion of Paul. But people looking at Paul, they may not be conscious what is going on within him. We can also consider the prodigal son as recorded in Luke chapter 15 verses 11 to 32. Now those looking at the life of the prodigal son, look at the life of such a person, he may look like what people will call a gone case, hopeless case. He asked his father for the share of the estate, then he went to a distant country, he squandered his estate with loose living, and then he was reduced to looking after swine, and even longing to eat what the swine were eating. And then suddenly, unexpectedly, he appeared before his father, a changed man, and changed for the better. Very dramatic. Repentant, humble, and a proper sense of unworthiness. Very dramatic change. But it's because something had taken place in his heart and mind. He had pondered over his life, and the scriptures record that he came to his senses. He realized his sin and wrongdoing and unworthiness. Verse 17 and 18. Such changes can take place in the hearts and minds of people. Sometimes the process, the thoughts, the struggles within that's going on, it may be taking place over a period of time, but outwardly, there may not be any obvious indication, and then suddenly, unexpectedly, we see a definite change for the better. We may not be aware of what's going on in the hearts and minds of people. And those who behave unreasonably, yeah, I'm talking about those who really behave unreasonably, not just appear to be, and we have been mistaken, which sometimes can happen. The fault actually lies with us, but we say others are behaving unreasonably. But even if it is true, objectively, those who behave unreasonably, they may one day come to their senses, like the prodigal son. But we better be careful and make sure our own conduct is proper and pleasing to the Lord and give no cause for offense. This is a very problematic area. Very often we may think other people are behaving unreasonably, when in fact, either we have contributed to it or we are the ones who are more unreasonable in that situation and relationship. At times, gradually, they come to appreciate the lives of those whom they've been treating unreasonably and realize their own areas, their own errors and wrongdoing. At times, they may not express or indicate such thoughts are taking place, and one day we suddenly see a significant change in their attitudes and their ways, in the way they relate with others. But sometimes the situation becomes very difficult. Is one major factor is that apart from weaknesses of men, the powers of darkness are also very actively at work and can cause a lot of misunderstandings as well as stirring up of suspicions, prejudices, and ill will. If we maintain proper conduct on our part and we continue to pray over the matter, these dark clouds may clear off. And the relationship may improve significantly, sometimes gradually, but sometimes dramatically. Significant change may suddenly take place in the outward manifestation. There may be significant spiritual breakthrough or gradual improvement, though not obvious outwardly. The third major factor or reason that can help us understand these occurrences that's important is our response. And this is a very important factor which helps explain why relief and positive development takes place. It can work in a few ways, or primarily I consider two. A is our prayers, our attitude, and our ways can actually contribute significantly to the change. Our prayers, our attitudes, our ways may be having definite positive impact on the situation. Positive impact on development in the spiritual realm as well as on the hearts and minds of other people, including the people who may be relating in ways which make life difficult for us. Our attitudes and ways, if positive, also have a significant bearing on how God works in the situation and also how the powers of darkness are at work. And though for some time there may be no obvious outward indication, suddenly we may see a positive change, because God is responding to our prayers. God is responding to the way we are responding to the situation. If our attitudes are good, God has great freedom to work powerfully, meaningfully in that situation. And suddenly we see a positive change. But it's important for us not to go through such times in a passive way. Our response, our attitudes and ways are very important. Now, our response is very important from another angle, 3B. That is, in relation to what we've been learning and the transformation that's taking place in our own lives. Because, and this is an important point for us to bear in mind, a very major aspect and meaning of very intense trials that we go through very often has to do with what God wants to teach us, why God allows us to go through such times. And if we respond well and we learn well, God may then deem it sufficient, for the present context at least, and remove the difficulties, and the situation suddenly changes for the better. And this can at times go beyond just an immediate context. Sometimes there are certain things that are very difficult for us, and it can be a very prolonged period because we have not learned well. And when we respond sufficiently well, then a whole area of difficulty that we have been undergoing for a long time may change significantly, because we have learned sufficiently and God deems it no longer necessary for us to go through that kind of difficulty. So it is important for us to go through intense situations well. Not only not to grumble, murmur, that is very obvious, although we often fail in this area, but it's also very important that we do not go through such times just passively, just gritting our teeth, just trying to endure in a sense that we try not to grumble and murmur and that's it. But beyond all this, we must seek to learn well and to respond positively in that situation. Sometimes periods of difficulty are prolonged because we are not learning well. We have not learned sufficiently. And God, it's because He loves us and there are important things He wants to teach us that He allows us to continue to experience the difficulties. Then the fourth area that can help us to understand such occurrences is the prayer support of others, as well as you can say support from others generally. Prayer support as well as support from others generally. The prayer support of others, which can contribute significantly to positive development in the spiritual realm, fighting the warfare on our behalf, overcoming the forces of darkness at work in the situation, and also positive development in the hearts and minds of other people who may be causing us difficulties or changing their conduct, as well as people in their prayers and other ways helping us to go through the situation well and helping us to learn well. Often we do not realize how much others may have been contributing to our lives and to the situations that we are going through. This is a very important aspect of healthy church life. Prayers as well as in other ways, we must learn to care for the brethren, and we should not measure concern of the brethren just by the obvious and the outward. In this whole series on appearance and reality, a very major thrust, principle, truth that I want to emphasize is that we must concentrate on reality rather than just outward appearance, including this area. To appreciate those who really care for us and not just by outward conduct. words and other expressions. It's important for us to learn to really care for one another from our hearts. God knows, God sees, and we have to give an account for it. But beyond all this, and the Lord willing, in the future, I will consider more of this in its significance, in the fulfillment of God's purposes and the outworking of healthy church life. The realities in our hearts as we learn to love, to care, and to work out meaningfully with one another is something very important to God and has significant implications in the spiritual realm. We have considered four related factors, but over and beyond these four related factors, it's also important for us to recognize one more, and that is the sovereign undertaking of God. We saw this in the life of Joseph, God's sovereign undertaking throughout, in relation to Moses, and God's assurance to Moses, even right from the early stages, that he's undertaking, he will deliver, and God was. God's timing and intervention, the way he intervened in relation to Paul and Silas and the earthquake, according to God's perfect wisdom and outworking of his purposes, you can see this in the way God undertook for the Israelites. But God's perfect timing and intervention also, he bears in mind, apart from other things, also the way we respond. God's sovereign undertaking. If he says one more plague and Pharaoh will let you go, it will be so. If he says the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again, it will be so. So take comfort in the knowledge that God cares for his children. He also knows how much we can take. And we can cry out to him in general, in the midst of difficulties, as well as when we find it very difficult to endure further, we can't take it anymore, we feel that way, we can express it to him. But even as we do so, we should still express submission to his perfect will and wisdom, and our preparedness to trust his grace to see us through whatever he sees appropriate for us to go through. His grace will be sufficient for us. And in God's sovereign undertaking, as we've seen very often, he does encourage us and grant some form of relief and encouragement along the way, especially if our attitudes are positive. God sees, he understands, he regulates. In our consideration of this area of intense difficulties and the issues involved, having understood these things, it's helpful for us to take note that if we are prayerful, we may be able to, and it's helpful for us to be able to recognize these things taking place and its effects on the situation, not merely after the whole episode, but even while we are going through the situation. It's actually feasible at times to see these principles in operation, at times very clearly. But even if we are not very clear of certain things, there are various aspects that we can be clear. For example, if we are faithful to God, we can be assured that God is sovereignly undertaking. There's meaning in what we are going through. And here and there, as we recognize this principle, if we are prayerful, perceptive, we can see God's hand and the way he undertakes. And all this can be very meaningful and helpful. Meaningful and helpful to help us to go through such situations well as learning how to pray. What is going on? What is taking place? And how to cooperate with God in an effective way. And also to learn more deeply the realities in the spiritual realm and to grow in moral, spiritual stature. The question that we may ask is, why do Christians go through such difficult and trying times, at times almost unbearable? Why does God allow even those who love him to go through such times? Are such times really meaningful, worthwhile to go through such times like that? Well, the answer would already be surfacing even as we've been considering these issues. I'll now consider with you two helpful points to bear in mind. why Christians, even those who deeply love God, can go through such times, which are, can be extremely difficult, at times almost unbearable. One, the first point is that certain goals to attain, to accomplish, may involve struggle, fight, for a period of time, and can include intensely difficult situations. Let us understand this, that although God is the Almighty, perfect God, let us not think that because God is Almighty in power, it's no problem. He can just intervene and straight away the whole problem will be resolved. But God is not like that. He is a God of order, and there are principles, there's meaning in the way God works and intervenes. There are spiritual principles they are operating. And this is a very important issue, and that is why in our Wednesday study sessions, I've been considering various major principles together with you to discuss them in the light of this issue of God ordaining moral spiritual principles which are very meaningful. That we must understand that there are these moral spiritual principles that are operating, and certain goals to accomplish, they involve a fight, a struggle over a period of time, and can include intensely difficult situations. Progress in God's work, especially in major areas, will generally involve encountering opposition, and if significant work involved, will involve significant spiritual opposition. Opposition from the forces of darkness, but the forces of darkness can also instigate people as well as bring about all kinds of situations that make life very difficult for us. Just as Pharaoh sought to obstruct God's plan for the Israelites to prevent them from leaving Egypt, it's very likely the evil one was working through Pharaoh. The evil one will try to hinder the fulfillment of God's purposes because it will be at the expense of the kingdom of darkness. You'll stir up all kinds of problems, difficulties in different ways, whether it be through direct spiritual pressure, direct spiritual opposition and attacks, or through circumstances, hardship, afflictions, illnesses, discouragements, and also through people. We need to ask ourselves, if we say we love God, we want to be faithful to Him, are we prepared to persevere in the struggle in order to attain the goal? It's essential. We must be prepared. That is the meaning of discipleship, being a soldier of Christ. We want to be involved in kingdom building. We must be prepared to persevere in the struggle. Second major reason, we have already to some degree considered it, but helpful for us as an encouragement to us of the meaning of what we are going through. Second major reason is aspects of our lives that God wants to deal with, whether it be negative areas He wants to deal with or positive areas that God wants to develop. Both directions, dealing with the negative, developing the positive. There are many things that God wants to teach us, and He wants us to learn together with Him. This can go together with the first reason, the struggle in the midst of something significant to accomplish. Though in different contexts, the emphasis may be different. And although intensely difficult times are distasteful, we rather not go through it, let us bear in mind that very often some of the deepest lessons are learned during such difficult times. And when God allows us to go through such times, if there are very deep lessons He wants us to learn, it's very sad. If we fail to learn them, worse, if we suffer and still didn't learn. And the way to learn, very important, we must go through trusting Him, draw near to the Lord. And in fact, some of the deepest lessons that God wants us to learn during such difficult times includes deepening our faith in Him and learning how to draw near to Him, not just with our lips, but in our hearts, to be more deeply one with Him and to deepen in our knowledge of God and the attributes of God, to deepen in our fellowship with Him, to understand the realities in the spiritual realm, about spiritual warfare, an opportunity for us to really deepen in our prayer life. And all these are feasible. Our prayer life and all these various areas can deepen very significantly during such times. And to grow in moral, spiritual stature. To learn how to be strengthened by the Lord. And also opportunities for us to see God at work. So that it's not just principles we hold in our minds, not just some vague concepts, but all these various areas of truth can become very real to us. These are very important times. But of course, it may not turn out this way. The opposite can be true. In the midst of intense difficulties, our lives can deteriorate. It can be severely damaged. If we fail to respond well or we respond negatively, we compromise, we turn away from the Lord, become bitter, become reactive, our faith can become shaken. That is why I mentioned this one area I want to emphasize and highlight. It is vital we respond well. Such times are very helpful in helping us to understand ourselves better. But sad to say, we may not. But it's actually very helpful to help us understand ourselves better, our true state. Many of us think we are alright, but if we are truly open to the Lord during such times, we may think we love God deeply, we love truth deeply, we are wholeheartedly committed to live according to the truth and to be obedient to God. We may not be so aware of our weaknesses, our deficiencies, our lack of strength, our depth of conviction, if we are open. Such times may reveal to us various deficiencies, help us recognize all kinds of impurities in our lives and the lack of quality of faith and commitment. Of course, we may not respond in this way and instead blame circumstances, blame people, blame God. But such times can actually help us significantly, and Proverbs 24 verse 10 may come through to us in a powerful way. If you are slack in the day of distress, your strength is limited. And we come to realize that indeed, our strength is limited, and the need for us to deepen, no longer remain complacent. Well, we may not be exactly complacent, but intensify our pursuit of the Lord and the nurturing of the qualities of the inner man. So under stress, various weaknesses and deficiencies may become more manifested, may become feel anxious, sense of insecurity, easily agitated, provoked. We sense the lack of faith, lack of love for people, lack of the strength to persevere in the truth that we know. What is the quality of our faith? Quality of our life? Quality of our convictions? Let us prayerfully ponder over these things. How much do we really love God? How much does truth mean to us? Will we live by the principle of love for God and love for the truth, whatever happens, however difficult, however long the duration? Such times will help us to understand what we have attained to and how much more we need to attain to. The vital issue is perseverance. Not just holding on, but proper exercise of ourselves in every aspect, including our conduct, our attitude, prayer, even if no outward, obvious changes for the better, even if it appears to be degenerating, and especially in relation to important issues, our earnestness must not slacken. Whether it be regards to our personal struggles or the difficulties of others, but especially in relation to the Lord's work. Bear in mind, many may appear to respond well and earnest for a short period, but few really persevere well, especially through very difficult circumstances. Earnestness and intensity of prayer should not slacken because of neglect, carelessness, or because we lose heart, we grow weary. But yes, it can vary according to a sober consideration of the matter before the Lord. What the Lord requires of us, sometimes we may need to regulate especially in our praying for others. When we ourselves are going through times of personal struggles, we may need to regulate the degree of intensity of praying for others. But it needs to be a sober reflection, consideration before the Lord, and not just because we find it difficult. So concluding remarks on this subject, there is much that we can learn during such times. There's a lot of meaning during times of intense difficulties, but we must persevere well, we must respond well, however difficult, intense, or long the duration. Be assured, His grace is sufficient. And often there's special enabling of the Lord, especially if our attitudes are positive, and we must not be deterred by the outward appearance of things. Sometimes it may appear as if the difficulties will continue indefinitely, or it may appear to be degenerating, something seriously damaging about to take place, but in reality, there's been progress in the spiritual realm, or the person's inward state, not obvious outwardly. Relief and positive development may be about to take place. We must persevere until victory, persevere in faith, or whatever the outcome of things, and learn well whatever God wants us to learn. Important not to become discouraged, depressed, lose heart, because we do that, if we allow that to happen, we will not be able to respond well. The evil one will be able then to influence us, take advantage of our lives, we will not be able to fight a good fight of faith, and then God's working in and through our lives becomes hindered. So important, faith in the context of faithfulness. Fulfill our part and trust God and be prepared to face whatever consequences and the outcome. I say be prepared to face whatever the consequences and outcome, because we need to take note. I've been talking about relief and definite positive development taking place. But although that may happen, bear in mind, there may also be rather unpleasant or even negative consequences and outcome of things. Outcome of things will not always be positive, even if we are faithful. There can still be damaging consequences because there may be others whose attitudes and ways are negative or improper. But we can be sure of one thing. If on our part we are truly faithful, then even in context of negative outcome of things, there will not be negative effects on those who trust God and those who are faithful to Him. Romans 8:28 will operate even in such contexts. It will be negative only for those who do not respond well or whose attitudes are negative in that situation. So in times of intense difficulties, when we feel very difficult to carry on properly, let us lay hold of the fact of God's sovereignty, His sovereign undertaking and regulating of what's happening, that no temptation or trial will overtake us, but such as is common to men, and God is faithful, who will not allow us to be tested beyond what we are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, or the way out, that we may be able to endure it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 13. I'll conclude our consideration of this subject with this observation. If we are faithful to the Lord, and this is always feasible, whatever the situation and context, then nothing can stop us from growing, and nothing can stop us from a life of fruitfulness. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. And it's always feasible for us to abide in the Lord. Spend time to ponder, to consider the meaning of abiding in him and how to ensure that this is continually true in our lives. Yes, here and there we may falter, but we keep coming back to abiding in Him. A life of growth and fruitfulness is not a life without any failures. Nobody lives like that, without any failures. But there needs to be a meaningful degree of commitment, that trust in our lives. And basically, we are committed to God, we are abiding in Him, and whenever we falter, we come back. We repent, we come back. We will grow, we will be fruitful. The assurance come from the Lord Himself. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. And nothing can stop us from abiding in the Lord. We can choose to abide in him. Let us, as we prepare ourselves to partake of Lord's Supper, ask the Lord to help us to appreciate in deeper measure the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus in spite of the intense agony and suffering he had to go through on the cross. He didn't shrink away. Ask the Lord to help us to identify with him and to deepen in the resoluteness of our heart to be faithful to him, to continue to abide in him, whatever may come our way, not in a spirit of self-confidence, but asking the Lord to strengthen us, to help us. Even the very choice to abide in him, ask God to strengthen us, to help us to abide in him, and to continue to abide in him in the midst of difficulties. And to be able to see beyond the outward appearance of the discouraging circumstances by faith, to know the deep assurance that God is sovereignly undertaking, that there's meaning in all that we go through, in all that those who love God go through. There is meaning, and there is significant meaning in intense times of difficulties, that the Lord may teach us to learn well whatever he desires to teach us, and to persevere to accomplish whatever he wants us to accomplish together with him and together with the brethren in the context of his work, that we will not be amongst those who shrink away because of difficulties.